they weren't set up with a mandate when they were established in 1951 to respond to people affected by natural disasters. However, over time, they've become increasingly involved in that, and particularly in the late 1980s and more so even in the 90s, where they became more involved with humanitarian assistance, both to conflicts and natural disasters. Now, that doesn't mean they were seeing people as environmental refugees. They often use the term environmental migrant, implying that they were affected to some extent by environmental changes, their movements. And IOM's done a lot of different work in this area. I would flag, first off, their research. They've been very, very strong in developing policies and sort of doing long-standing research to explore the relationship between environment and migration. And secondly, I'd point again to their operations. So here's where they send people out into the field, whether it be into Haiti or to Kenya, where I spent time, to try and help people who are affected by the impacts of environmental change and climate change. However, I'd say that sometimes their expertise is not so strong in this area, specifically around working with people who are pastoralists, for instance, in northern Kenya. So I spent time there up on the border with South Sudan and on the Kenyan side where IOM was working with pastoralists to change their livelihoods and give them alternatives because these pastoralists were really struggling to cope with extreme drought. And I think it's an interesting question that I would invite your listeners to think about. We often want our international organizations to change and evolve and to deal with these new issues that we see coming up. But you also have to make sure that the organizations tasked with it have the expertise to do so.